morning, everyone. Welcome to Swim Community Church. It's wonderful to see you here in person. Good job braving the snow. We're pretty lucky in Swim. We didn't get it too bad, but I heard Kitsap County has like 8 or 9 inches or something. So praise God for the snowplow we have in the parking lot. No matter what happens, we can get to church. So thank you also for joining us on our live stream. We're glad you are with us. This morning, I wanted to share. The next song we're going to sing is called Yes, I Will. And I watched a little video on the people from the people who wrote it, and they said their inspiration for the song comes from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. And it says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. So let's do that. Let's stand together and we'll continue in worship.
Fail me now. Jesus, we're thankful that you're the way, the truth, and the life. And we're thankful that you usher us to the Father. And so our minds, hearts, and souls are filled with adoration and worship. And as we draw close to you, help us to feel your presence, your power, and your peace. We're thankful, Jesus, that you're the way maker, that you help us make a way in this world, that you've given us the truth about you, the truth about us, the truth about living in this fallen world, the truth as we look at it today about how to be faithful in the fallenness of this world. You give us life, you give us a full life even in the midst of the challenges and the difficulties. That life is a life that's good for us, and it's blessed enough that we have more than our fair share. We can share that and spread that around as we live each and every day. And we're thankful that the life you give us is an everlasting life, an eternal life. And what a perspective eternity gives us in these moments that sometimes feel like they're never going to end, that things are going to just stay kind of the locked down, well, less than free life that we enjoy and celebrate and look forward to. And as you unfold your plan, keep us looking towards you. We do again pray today for those who are on the front lines. We're thankful for hopeful signs, areas where COVID rates are declining, vaccines are becoming more plentiful. Lord, be with those that are still working, with those that are very sick. We pray for those that have lost loved ones. Lord, we ask that your healing hand would be upon those that we know of that are coming out of surgery, headed to surgery. Those that are just sick with something else other than COVID or ailing in their life. It's a great privilege that you give us to befriend those around us, and the greatest privilege is that we can pray in your name for them, that you would bring your supernatural resources to bear in their life. Lord, knowing that all promises are true in you, fulfilled in you, either in this life or in the life to come. We pray again, Lord, for the places in the world, the places in our country and even our own city where there's conflict, that you would bring a spirit of cooperation and harmony, that you would bring reconciliation where it's needed, forgiveness where it's hard to extend. Coming to worship you, what a privilege. And we thank you for that today. As we lift you up in worship, as we often pray, I pray that you would lift us up, that we truly could worship you both in truth and in spirit. And so it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, let's thank our worship team for leading us. Awesome. Thank you. And you can wave to someone. We're will be a little bit different next week. We just have to figure out exactly what that looks like. You probably know that our city queried the governor and asked if we could go to phase two, and he granted that, even though we have some areas in our region that are not moving forward as fast as we are. So Monday we'll meet and look at what changes that may mean for us. Our ultimate goal is to keep you safe as you come to worship, and so we'll continue to practice our hand sanitizing, our mask wearing, and being 6 feet apart. Here's the rule here. If you get closer than 6 feet to someone, now they're a part of your family. You have to take them home with you. The auction is the big thing on the horizon. We're collecting your donations. Those will be categorized. Our goal is to have an opportunity where you come on campus, social distanced, and you have the opportunity to buy things that are available. The larger, often live auction items, those will be put online, and there'll be an opportunity for you to bid online a little bit like some other sites. There'll be a day and a time where there's a cutoff, and if there's a big computer jam, 1 minute before those items close, then we'll figure out who finally won and gets both a great opportunity, both in receiving something, but also to be supportive of our students as they do mission work here in Sequim and down in Olympia at Black Lake Camp. Hey, speaking of youth, here's our youth pastor, Keith Sandell.
Good morning, Sequim Community Church. Would you join me in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16? It goes like this. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. If you are faithful in little things, you will also be faithful in larger things. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things your own? No one can serve two masters, for he will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. The Pharisees, who dearly loved their money, heard all this and scoffed at him.
So the tech room is scrambling because I was supposed to start with a mission video. And so if you boot that up, we'll do the mission video now and then I'll preach. How about that? Let's see if this works.
Joining us today is Dr. Manny Fernandez with WorldLink Ministries. Manny's ministry equips and trains national pastors in many countries throughout the world on biblical principles, including church planting. Manny, in the years past, you did extensive traveling, teaching, and sharing Jesus. How has this past year with the coronavirus impacted your ministry?
We have been able to expand way beyond our wildest dreams. Today, through Zoom, I can be with 20 states of Brazil out of the 26 at the same time, taking classes all together. And all they need is a smartphone. So we are mesmerized, flabbergasted, and blessed beyond belief because we're doing it in India, in corners of India that take forever to get to as well. This is God's plan to speed up missions by 100 years so that we can go into so many corners. I just got back from Sierra Leone. We went to 20 villages in 5 days, hours of jungle roads in between, but 700 Muslims came to Christ. And it's crossing cultural and religious barriers. And that has to be face to face. But the other, with people who are in our team, people that know us, love the Lord, want to know more about his word, it's a very friendly audience. We can do this. And it's working beautifully.
It's been kind of a blessing to your ministry.
Huge. To all the missions. You know, they say that a great organization has three boxes. Box number one is great vision. Box number two is great strategy. And box number three is great capacity. Because if I had been the one to catch the vision, it'd take me years to get other people to join it. But by giving us COVID in every country of the world, God has forced all of us to use it. All of us have seen the need to get face-to-face with each other through technology.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and ask you to wrap your arms around Manny and the many pastors working to share your word and love with the many people ready to open the door when you knock. We pray for their safety and their travels, and we ask this in your holy name.
Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the real world that we live in, that we experience each and every day. And we've been talking about how we lean into the real world that we're a part of right now, today. And one of the challenges is to realize, yes, we live in a fallen world, as we talked about last week. This week, how are we faithful in the fallenness of the world? And the world is fallen, and therefore it creates a challenge to us to live faithfully in the midst, lean in the midst of all that's going on. It takes us to Luke 18:8. But when the Son of Man, Jesus, returns, how many will he find on the earth who still have faith? Yeah, who has faith in the midst of the fallenness? I know our faith wanes. It's challenged in the midst of living out our life and our faith in a fallen world. How are we to be faithful? Why is faithfulness so important? Well, faithfulness is important because it's important to God. God is looking for people who are faithful. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect towards him, so that he can show his great power in helping them. See, God is looking for faithful people because God has something for us to do. God has a plan not only for us, but he has a plan for this whole world. And for that plan to move forward, God wants to include us. He wants to help us help him exercise his will. His will not only in our life, but for the whole world. Yes, God's eyes are roaming. He is looking. He is searching for those that are faithful to him in this fallen world. And because it's a fallen world, well, faithful people are not easy to find. Proverbs 26. Everyone talks about how faithful people are, but it is difficult to find someone who really is. It's hard to find people who are really faithful. In fact, in the Second Chronicles passage, it uses the word, those that are perfect. Oh, I'm not perfect. Does that mean God is not going to use me? God wants to use those that are aspiring in faith. that are a part of the struggle and the challenge to live out their faith in a fallen world. And so it's not surprising that, well, many have fallen away. Many speak about being faithful in a fallen world, but in reality, they're not being faithful. They're becoming a part of the fallenness in this world. Faithfulness is important because, well, as we're faithful to God, that positions us so that we will receive blessing and will be victorious over the fallenness of this world. A faithful person will be richly blessed. Well, it makes sense that if we're faithful to God, that that's good for us and good for those around us. That our faithfulness does position us so that we can receive the blessings of God. Oftentimes that means emptying our hands of the fallenness of this world, of the fallenness of our own nature, so that we might receive the blessing that God wants to bestow upon us. And as we talked the other week, Jesus overcame everything in this world, and as his followers, he wants us to be overcomers too. He wants us to be victorious. Every child of God can defeat the world, and it is our faith that gives us this victory. It's our faith that gives us this intentionality of knowing that there is more than meets the eye. God is doing more than we might be experiencing in our own little spot of fallenness, a fallen circumstance, a fallen relationship, a fallen ideal, a fallen sense of who we really are. As Christians, we aspire to be faithful to Jesus, to be fully devoted followers of Jesus, to be his true disciples. Being faithful in a fallen world, it's a challenge. How do we lean into the fallenness of the world? How do we do the best job of exercising our faithfulness to Jesus? Well, here's a few things, a few truths out of God's word. Number one, it means that if we're going to be faithful, we have to have integrity, not only in the large things of this world, but we have to have integrity in the small things in this world. Whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. There's a lot of truth to that. What good does it do you if you're faithful in the large things, but you're not faithful in the small things? And I know the truth of that. The small things begin to add up and they become large. And they challenge the large fallenness that we find ourselves living with. Yes, we need to be faithful in large things, but, well, let's begin by being faithful with the small things. And who is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large things, and I believe there's a lot of truth to that. In fact, if you're in leadership today as we talk, integrity and the small things have never become more important, more pivotal. Leadership is about being good with large things, having integrity in large things, but also having integrity in small things. And I know how it is. I know how I think and others think. Well, you know, it's just a small thing, and no one is looking. Yeah, God is looking. Didn't we just read that God is searching, looking from one end of the world to the other to find those that are faithful to him, those that have integrity in both the large things and the small things? Most of life, most of relationships is about faithfulness in small things. That leads to large things. And if we're going to take on the large fallenness of our world, we have to start by being faithful in the small things. We've got to lean in there and care about the small things and have integrity in being faithful in the small things. Number two, we have to be unselfish people in our service. It's true. The faithful will always serve those around them. Be unselfish in taking their time, talent, treasure, and touch and sharing it with those around them. Each one should use whatever gift you have received to make yourself look really good, to get all the accolades and the honors, to always be the first one in line, always exercise your privilege. Faithful Christians are the ones that share the privilege. They're the ones that go to the end of the line when they have a right to be at the front of the line. And it's true, God has shaped you for ministry. He has shaped you to live out your faith in this world. Your spiritual gift, your heart passion, your abilities and talents, your personality and your experience, even your painful experiences. God doesn't waste them. He utilizes them as we serve other people. And the great thing about God's plan of faithfulness is we always have an add-in in a relationship. A positive impact in circumstances and situations in life that are fallen, that are broken, that are hurting, that are yearning for something better, something more. God enlists us to carry out his divine purpose. It's a very high calling. And he equips each and every one of us so that in word and in deed, we can share God's love. We can share a hope that goes beyond, well, COVID-19. A hope that goes beyond vaccination. A hope that is eternal. And the great thing about our eternity is we don't have to wait to die to get some of it. Yes, he gives us little slices of heaven all the time. And have you noticed that you're a little slice of heaven? A heavenly experience to those that you serve, and you've been serving well, by the way. I'm very proud to be the lead pastor of this church. We have been making a difference week in and week out over this past year. We've been encouraging, we've been supporting, we've been serving. And as we have, well, those that we've served have taken notice. Taken notice not so much of us, but taken notice of who we represent as faithful followers. We've had the opportunity to be Jesus to other people. And oftentimes that's about serving, taking whatever God has given us and and using it to bless and help and encourage someone else. Yeah, there's a lot to lean into in this fallen world. Faithful people are very good at leaning in with generosity when there's a short supply. A short supply of time. A short supply of talent. A short supply of treasure. A short supply of touch. It's always 6 feet away. Generosity, I think life's all about being generous. Jesus says, I tell you, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends for eternity. Use your money, influence people into heaven. Love them, help them. Remind them that you come in the name of Jesus. Hey, you might want to think about it. Would you like to talk about it? Could I share something with you? A way, a truth, and a life that I've found in Jesus. In this way, your generosity stores up rewards for you in heaven. But if you are unfaithful with your worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? You cannot serve both God and money. Now we know that. It's not as though you can't be rich and be a Christian. It's about who you're really serving. You'll know you're serving faithfully when you use your time, talent, treasure, and touch to share generously with those around you, to serve those around you. And it's one thing to be generous when you have a lot. Challenge here is to be generous when, well, things are limited. I often say, and I've heard it more than once, well, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to honor God. But when I make more money, then I'll honor God by giving him 10%. And I know the truth. No, you won't. You know why? If you can't honor God in a small thing, when you got a lot, you won't honor God either. If you don't know how to be generous when there's a shortage, you probably won't be very generous when you have a lot. The New Testament holds up the church at Macedonia. Read 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. They honored God, they gave, and they gave out of their poverty. They shared what little they had with another church, with other people. Yeah, when there was a shortage, well, that's when people need it. People need generosity when there's a shortage. We need to remind ourselves that there's some great principles when we're generous in the midst of shortage. We need to remind ourselves about how God works, what his economy is in this world, and in our world, in our life, in our faithfulness. Number one, God gives to generous people. You want more? Give generously. It's amazing how that works. Number two, when we obey God's vision, that brings God's provision. When we obey God's vision in our life, God's vision for our church, God's vision for this world, then that's what brings God's provision. And it's amazing how there are many, many stories where people were just about ready to give up hope and God stepped in. God called someone to step in and be a resource. Be generous in their time of shortage. Now it's true, we need to do all that we can do. And when we get to the end of doing all that we can do, God does what we cannot do. We don't sit with our arms folded in faithfulness. In fact, we don't even just wait around for God. We get on the move and say, God, please direct me where you want me to go. I often liken faithfulness to being a parked car or a moving car. You know, you turn the car on, and if it's parked, and you try to find direction, you turn the steering wheel to the left. You know what finally happens in your car? You hear a whining sound. You find yourself whining a lot. See if your life is at least out on the street going in neutral. You know, over time, you'll get there. You're not going to get anywhere God wants you to be if you're just parked and you're pouting. And you're saying, oh, I have shortage. There's shortage all around me. And there is. Yeah, there is. Why is there shortage when there ought to be abundance? We live in a fallen world. And we're called to be faithful in that. And so we get ourselves out onto the roadway and we say to God, okay, we're doing everything we know to do. Now we need you to do what we cannot do, what you can only do. And it's true that when we've done all that we can do, then God does what we cannot do. We need to remind ourselves if we have a need, we need to sow a seed. We need to step out on faith. God calls us to honor Him. God calls us to be generous with those around us as we do those things, as we sow those seeds. And here I'm not just talking about money. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's talent. Maybe it's touch. Well, when we have a need, we need to sow a seed. And then finally, we need to remind ourselves there's always a delay between sowing the seed and it coming to fruition in our life. I'm like you. I love instant things. And when it comes to God's blessing, when it comes to sowing the seed, I want it to bloom and bear fruit immediately. Yet that's not the way it happens in this fallen world. You plant the seed and then you faithfully wait. You faithfully wait for the growth, the fruit. And then as we enjoy it, we not only enjoy the blessing of God ourselves, but we share the blessing with those around us. Yeah, it's easy to be generous when you have a lot. We got to lean in, faithfully lean in when there's a shortage. A fourth area of faithfulness is that we're intent in building up other people. And right now, and for the last months, there have been plenty of people around us that need encouragement. They need to be built up. And it's our call to be the encouragers, the cheerleaders, the ones that bring inspiration and desperation to other people. Some men brought to Jesus a paralytic friend lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, the faith of those that brought the paralyzed man, he said, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." See, the four friends, they had faith. The paralyzed man, he was waning in his faith. And notice what they did. Well, we've got faith. We're going to Jesus. And so one of the things we need to do is look around at those that have faith that's waning in this fallenness. And we have to lean into them by encouraging them and holding them up. Never be so proud as to not ask someone with a lot of faith to share their faith with you today. Yeah, we need some more cheerleaders. We don't need more critics. We don't need to be around more discouraged people. We need to be around some people that have a hope and a future. And we do in God's plan. The final thing that we're always called to do is persevere in the midst of resistance. Now, I don't know about you, but I perseverance is not my greatest strength. In fact, when there's resistance, I often want to find a path of less resistance. Yet in this fallen world, there's always going to be resistance. In fact, can you hear it? The resistance is rising. The resistance isn't coming, it's here. And so, in the fallenness of this world, our job is to be patient. Our job is to persevere. This is why we never give up. Our spirits are being renewed every day. Is it? Is yours? Remember, for the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joy to come will last forever. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go running into the midst of all the fallenness of the world and try to organize it and heal it and change it. By definition, we can only do our part. But we should do our part. We should remind ourselves that eternity is a lot longer than the next period or phase in our life. And that's all we've got. We can't go back and change the past. All we can do is set the best course in the next phase and stage of our life. And yes, this COVID will finally be lifted from us. This aspect of living in a fallen world, yet we're not to give up. We're not to throw in the towel. No, we're supposed to have perseverance. So persevere. Look for the blessings in the small things when you can't find the blessings in large things. Today may be a bad day. Well, today can't be a bad day. It's Valentine's Day. But maybe this day, this week, this month, this year, this phase of your life, maybe it's been littered with the fallenness of the world. But we always have a hope and a future. And that hope and that future up ahead is that God wants us to be successful, victorious, blessed. And those things happen best. The fog dissipates, the clouds go away. When the Son of God comes, He brings a hope in each and every day. Let us pray. Father, you are looking the earth for those that are faithful. We often think we're the ones that are searching for you and find you. You've been looking for us for a long time. In fact, you've never stopped looking for us. And so, Lord, in this fallenness, find us, help us find you. And we know that you're much easier to see in our faithfulness than in our fallenness. And so, help us look ahead. Allow your word to be a reminder that things of our spirit are being renewed each and every day. Bring that renewal. Bring that faith. We're thankful that you're a God that blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Don't stop doing that, please. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt.
The church of Christ was born.
Church, as we go out this morning, God, would you help us to be faithful? It's only by the power of your Spirit that we can walk in the faithfulness that you've called us to. So we just ask that you would enable us to do that this week. We love you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.